Dr. Carson out. That's right. Dr. Carson out. Fox drops Ruby as crews demand stragglers fold their tents. Well, it's come down to that fabled one-on-one match we've been hearing about for months. It's Don Trump versus Ted Cruz as Dr. Carson suspends his campaign. And the numbers are simply not there for little Marco Chucky Rubio. And in addition to that, Fox has now made it public, or at least made it apparent, that Marco Rubio is no longer the favored. He's no longer the favored candidate. He can't make it. Increasingly, experts are claiming that Cruz himself does not have a path towards 1,200 delegates after winning his own state and a few others. And now we're informed that if Trump wins Florida and Ohio, he cannot be stopped as he leads Ruby, little Chucky, the doll with the big teeth, by 20 points in Florida. So Trump has done the unthinkable, and now the bloviating, self-righteous, screaming and emailing Hildebeest can have the match she claims she always wanted. Meanwhile, does the GOP have the right to cherry-pick candidates? What about the will of the people? Further, how have GOP candidates fared in recent years? Do the GOP leaders own the party? Are we slaves to the GOP, those of us out there that are members or supported? How awful is the state of the GOP, folks? It's in terminal. It's in terminal condition, of course. Whose fault is that? Well, only the GOP can be held to blame for the failures of the GOP and all the finger-pointing and last-minute secret plots and reanimation of political corpses like Mr. Romney are not going to change anything. In the end, how will it all work out for the GOP? Stay tuned, sports fans. Kelly O'Connell, good morning. It is the third day of the third month, 2016. And there's just been movement, continued movement in the situation out there. It appears that Fox News has made Marco Rubio persona non grata for a couple of reasons, one of which is because of the fact that he cannot win. He's only won one state, but he continues to give these crazy speeches. We're so happy to be in the place that we're in. We can't wait for the next round. We never said that we would win. We would win on Super Tuesday. And I was thinking about this too. You know, Mark Rubio's not running for Senate. So what is his way of staying relevant? How is he going to stay in the minds of the people, and where's he going to be in power? And the answer is, I mean, Marco Rubio is a very talented and a very attractive guy. He's very young, but he is now going to be out of the Senate. And I was thinking last night, you know, the reason he did that had to have been the numbers. You just don't walk away from a Senate seat. They must have seen that he was going to lose his reelection. In the same way that he is 20 points down from Donald Trump in Florida. And so now Rubio has kind of, he's done something that is very, very ill-advised. He made it personal with Donald Trump. And he made it personal in a way that was, and you can blame this on Trump if you want. It doesn't really matter. It's Rubio who's going to end up with egg on his face, who already seems foolish. And I just think he's ruined himself. He's ruined his brand. I don't think he'll ever come back. I'm sure he'll be prominent. He'll be, you know, he'll be in a think tank, or who knows what he's going to do. Maybe he'll enter the private economy or whatever, but the fact of the matter is that he just doesn't have what it takes, and that Fox News, Roger Ailes, whoever it was that came along and it pointed out that not only does Rubio not have a way forward, but he told something that was very embarrassing about Fox News. He told reporters or somebody that there was this gang of eight senators that had gotten together and had met with Roger Ailes, had dinner with Roger Ailes, and Roger Ailes agreed to support. And it's Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch, but they agreed to support the eight. And then that came apart. And so now you're seeing that although Marco Rubio is claiming that only he can beat Trump, he can't beat anybody, and he's run out of supporters. And it's a very desperate situation to be in. And he didn't have to be in this situation. He could have kind of gathered up his, it's a question of maturity. He doesn't have the maturity to lead, and he's just done some crazy things. Have you ever, by the way, seen his speech when he responds to Obama's State of the Union, and Fox put him on TV, and he's standing there and he's talking? He already looks like a little kid, you know? And then all of a sudden you can hear him getting dry mouth, and he starts to look desperate, and he's stuttering and stuff. And then he starts to look out of the corner of his eye, and then he just makes a dash. He lunges for this water, and he grabs the water, and he pops the top off on film, on live TV, and takes a big swig of water. It looks so bad. It is one of the worst things that I've ever seen somebody do during a live broadcast. It was absolutely insane. So anyway, Rubio is in a lot of trouble. He's going to have to drop out, or he's going to hang around and be a joke. I mean, those are the options. And he's out. So now Dr. Carson has said that he's going to assist campaign, but he's not dropping out, which I think that Ben Carson has a different take on reality, you know, and he's out, whether he wants to announce it officially or not. Obviously, he was very emotionally attached to his campaign. And so now you've got these three people in there. You've got Cruz and Kasich. And the only reason that I mentioned Kasich does not have a chance, but he does have a chance to be the vice president. And I don't think that Rubio does, because let's put it this way. Let's look at it this way. He's not necessary to the, absolutely not necessary for, to be able to make it. There's under no circumstances does Rubio have to be in the picture to make it. Now, if he hadn't gone in and, and insulted Donald Trump's age by claiming he peed his pants and the size of his genitalia, apparently that's what the joke about the size of his hands was. If he hadn't called him a con artist, then I think that he might still have some viability, but I think he's totally destroyed his viability. So here you have this young guy. He was famous in Florida when I was living there for being this up and coming. He's a Cuban guy, very attractive, well spoken, and he is on his way up. And he gets into he comes back from like 30 points down and becomes the senator. And he does that through the help of some well-meaning people, and one of which was Phyllis Schlafly, who's probably the most important female conservative, whatever you want to call it. So not really a celebrity, but she's a kind of a columnist. She's an attorney. She's old now. She's like in her 90s, and she's still involved. But she helped him get elected, and then as soon as he got into power, he starts to try to compromise, And it's very sad what he did. But anyway, he's out. I think Kasich could be a vice president, you know? So, but now we've got Cruz against Trump, and how that's going to turn out, you know, I don't see that Cruz has a direction. So what is Cruz going to do after he loses? He's going to go back to the Senate. You know, he's going to stay in the Senate. He's going to do what Rubio apparently was not able to figure out how to do. Anyway, we'll come back and talk some more about this. I've got a lot of clips for you as well. And 523-1450. And I do have the text line 805-6180-805-6180. AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell, and we'll be right back at 6:17. And it's pretty warm outside. I'll have the temperature when we come back.
On the turning away from the pale and downtrodden and the words they say which we won't understand. Don't accept that what's happening is just a case of all the suffering. Oh, you'll find that you're joining in the turning away.
All right, so I think that I've got some clips here from Marco Rubio I couldn't resist. Marco Rubio, after winning one state out of, what was it, 15, 17 states so far, goes back to Miami, his stomping grounds. He's Cuban, so he's got all of his supporters down there. and he starts talking about going forward in the American dream and how thrilled he is, at this next, we can't wait for the next round of this campaign. And everybody else sees him in the ICU on a heart-lung transplant machine. But here we go.
Thank you. You probably, thank you. I think you've heard this before from someone else, but I want to say it. I love you, Miami. Thank you. It is great. It is great to be home. It is great to be home. We are so excited to be home, and we are so excited about what lies ahead for America. We are so excited by what lies ahead for our campaign. You see, just 5 days ago, we began to unmask the true nature of the front runner so far in this race. 5 days ago, we began to explain to the American people that Donald Trump is a con artist. And in just 5 days, we have seen the impact it is having all across the country. We are seeing in state after state, he loves to talk about polls. We are seeing in state after state, his numbers coming down, our numbers going up.
All right, so this is what you call delusion. And here is a little bit more that he said on Fox News. He is, and I understand it, you know, you've been a winner all your life and all of a sudden you run into something and he's not out of the race, but there's no way for him to win. But anyway, here's from Fox.
Just 5 days ago, we began to unmask the true nature of the front runner so far in this race. 5 days ago, we began to explain to the American people that Donald Trump is a con artist. And in just 5 days, we have seen the impact it's having all across the country. We are seeing in state after state, he loves to talk about polls. We are seeing in state after state, his numbers coming down, our numbers going up.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio last night after his Super Tuesday win in the state of Minnesota, his first win of the campaign. Joining me now, Florida Senator and presidential candidate Marco Rubio. Senator, good morning. Good to have you with us this morning.
Good morning.
So
thank you.
We heard what you were saying there, and it's true. Just 5 days ago, you began a campaign against Donald Trump that, you know, includes calling him a con artist. And there are some indications in some of the numbers that we saw last night that some of that may be sinking in with voters out there. I guess the first question is, why did it start just 5 days ago?
Well, look, I had a hope that this would take its own course. I think, like many of us, I thought eventually Donald Trump would be exposed by the media and others. Unfortunately, you know, I think he's gotten a real pass in the media over the last few months. You had CBS come out and say they love Donald Trump because he's good for ratings, but it's definitely having an impact. Look, 65% of the people who voted yesterday across Super Tuesday did not vote for Donald Trump. He underperformed in virtually every state on the map. And by the way, let's not forget that last night was supposed to be Ted Cruz's big night. It was the night where he was going to sweep. These states were tailor-made for the kind of campaign he was running. We beat him in Georgia. We beat him in over half the states were on the map. We got our first win in Minnesota. We picked up what we believe will be over 100 delegates. It now has us in a significant count. Look, Florida is going to be huge, obviously. It's my home state, and we feel good about it. But if this was anybody else as a front runner, there'd be people right now saying, let's all rally around the front runner. That will never happen with Donald Trump. On the contrary, what you're hearing now is, how do we prevent the party of Reagan and Lincoln from being taken over by someone who for days refused to condemn the Ku Klux Klan and someone who, quite frankly, is carrying out the most elaborate con job we've ever seen in politics. And as it's being exposed, I think you're starting to see him run into headwinds. Look at what happened in Virginia.
All right. I mean, we are going to look at what happened in Virginia. Let's put up the total delegate count right now, because as you pointed out, it has just updated and we will continue to update. And these are the new numbers as we see them. You've got Donald Trump now with 316. Many people said if he made it over 300, he was going to be very difficult to take down in this race. Cruz is now at 226. You are at 106. on that delegate count. And let's take a look at Virginia too, because Virginia was the big story that you talked about last night in terms of how much you accelerated your campaign in Virginia. You are only one delegate away from him in Virginia, and there's a lot of discussion that if John Kasich hadn't been in the race, you would have won it. But I guess it begs the question, you know, is that, you know, a viable excuse at this point? I mean, you know, if you change around a lot of things, you know, things would be different. But this is the way it looks.
Well, that's right. And you got to deal with what you have. And so it is what it is. I mean, we're one delegate shy in Virginia. I think the broader point is the states that are on the map now moving forward, do they look more like Virginia or more like some of the other states we saw last night? I think the answer is they look more like Virginia. And so we feel good about that. Some of these states are going to award all their delegates. Florida, 99 delegates. So if I win Florida, what does that math look like tonight? Obviously, Ohio's still there, but there's a big other states. Illinois is a big delegate-rich state. So we just feel very optimistic. Last night was not supposed to be my night. I never said Super Tuesday was going to be our big night. We wanted to do well. We wanted to pick up a lot of delegates. But we understood that other campaigns had spent a lot more time and money in some of these states. And I think that was reflected in Georgia, a state where Ted Cruz badly outspent us. We beat Ted Cruz last night.
You know, if that's the case, just given what's happened and given the momentum and given the psychology of this race right now, I mean, you will absolutely, obviously have to win Florida, which you have guaranteed that you can do.
That's correct.
The polling, you know, there are polls that show you down by about 19 points from Donald Trump. And I know your polling has you looking better than that. But can you guarantee that you'll win Florida? And what's your path to making up all that lost territory there?
Well, first of all, I don't believe it's that lost territory.
Anyway, so, the race is over for Ted Cruz. He does. He's, I guess, the last one to admit it. But here is a clip that I thought was absolutely absolutely side-splitting from CNBC's Joe Kernan. Marco Rubio sounded like Baghdad Bob last night. You remember that guy that got up for Saddam Hussein, and no matter how badly they were getting beat, he would turn it around and say, that the Iraqi army has really pounded the American army who fled away like young girls screaming. You know, so anyway, here's this clip.
Lindsey Graham said we may need to unite around Ted Cruz to stop Donald Trump.
That's what I mean.
I don't think other people
would
are going to follow that, but that's fascinating.
That's down in where'd Alice go? Was it like a rabbit hole or something? I mean, this is some weird alter universe. The other thing that struck me last night, did you watch Rubio's victory speech? I was watching it and it was like, where have I seen this before? And the only guy I could come up with was Baghdad Bob. It was like, we've got the Americans on the run. They're at our gates, but they're headed the other way. We've been working on this strategy, and it's working. Trump is. And it was like, what are you talking about? What world are you in? Is that just?
Well,
does
Joe,
that help?
You know, Marco Rubio had success among late-breaking voters. The problem is there just weren't enough of them. So I think the story of Marco Rubio's campaign so far has been always on the cusp of a breakthrough, but never quite getting there.
It's called Always a Bridesmaid, Never a Bride. All right, so here I've got a little clip from those of you who can't remember or who'd like to hear a little more from Baghdad Bob. And he's at one point says that the Iraqi army sent the Americans flying away like rats. All right, check this out.
We bombarding them. We are chasing them. They retreat to the back. We stopped pounding them. They sent some of their units. So it's just like that. But still, the situation, we are deciding it's under our control. Yes, please.
What is the message that you want to send to the other side?
Well, it's the same message. We will defeat them. We will fight them till we clean our country from their deaths. They killed a number of their mercenaries, injured another number, and the rest flew like rats. They are not even 100 miles or whatever. They are not in any place. They are on the move everywhere. They are a snake moving in the desert. We push them. They run away to the back. We pounding them. They disappear. in the depth back. When we stopped pounding them, they pushed some of their units towards Saddam International Airport. We noticed that those units only for be filmed and for propaganda, hollow, empty propaganda purposes.
All right, so propaganda purposes. So I guess all the stuff that Trump has done is for propaganda purposes, and the person who really has an angle on the race is Baghdad Bob Rubio, Chucky Rubio. All right, 6:31, we'll take a break here, and on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180, 805-6180, to text, and we'll come back and continue on. We'll investigate a little bit of Ted Cruz's current campaign, which is not in the ICU right now, and 6:32. And I told you I'd have your temperature for you, and the weather app is telling me that it is 61 degrees outside. Isn't that fantastic? We'll be right back.
Light is changing the shadow and casting the shroud over all we have known. All the world has a right to grow. Give along by our heart and soul. We could find that we're all alone in the green world.
Now, if you just heard that clip, and that clip that just played, Glenn Beck is doubling down on his position of Donald Trump is the worst thing ever. But here is his theory. Cruz, Rubio, Carson compromise ticket. It would be an unstoppable team. Let's check it out.
Ted Cruz as the president, Marco Rubio, and I think they should announce this and run as this. I think we should begin to demand this. I think this should go all over the internet. Ted Cruz as president, Marco Rubio as vice president. Remember, Marco Rubio, the reason why he's still in it and he's not going to give up is because he can't run for his Senate seat. So his Senate seat is over. So he's out. So he's going to keep going. He has an interest. So Ted Cruz as president, Marco Rubio as vice president. They then say our Supreme Court nominee is Mike Lee. Rand Paul is going to be the Secretary of Treasury. And Ben Carson, we're going to back you with everything we can to get you to take Marco Rubio's seat in the Senate. How is that not a win for absolutely everyone? And that team would be unstoppable.
Well, I don't see it as a win for Donald Trump, but I just the level of hatred from Glenn Beck towards Donald Trump is really remarkable. Now, they've got this thing that's coming out, which is this story is that, and I don't think it's happened already because I haven't seen a clip of it, but there's a story out there that Mitt Romney is going to be giving a speech from Utah, his old stomping grounds, on the evils of Donald Trump and how he's got to be stopped. And I cannot fathom where these people are coming from. I think the New York Post put up a headline along the lines of, haven't you done enough already? Please just go away, to Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is not a leader. If Mitt Romney was a leader, he would have won the White House, you know? So coming out of nowhere, where's Mitt Romney? Where's Mitt Romney been for this whole, been for the campaign? And so anyway, you got their Glenn Beck saying basically Donald Trump is the worst person of all time. He'd be worse than Obama. He'd be worse than Bill Clinton. And, he's putting out a dream team. I mean, Glenn Beck just sounds so desperate. You've got this idea that Mitt Romney is going to come and take us out of the wilderness. Mitt Romney couldn't save himself. How's he going to save anybody else? I mean, I find this stuff so crazy. I mean, if Donald Trump has won or ends up winning the nomination, fair and square, why claim that he is this great demon that is set to? I really don't get it. Anyway, here is just a little bit on this monster speech that he is supposed to be giving. But, you know, Mitt Romney, the best thing that you could do, leave, go away. Your time is come. You failed the party totally. And now I don't know if Romney and Glenn Beck work together, but, you know, it's just this stuff is, in my opinion, has to stop. But here's a little bit from Mitt Romney's major speech he's going to make on the race.
16 News never stops. Dr. Ben Carson announcing he will not attend tomorrow's Fox News debate. And on top of that, Dr. Carson now saying he does not, quote, see a political path forward. But that's not all. Now 2012 GOP candidate Mitt Romney announcing that tomorrow he will make a major speech about the Republican Party's direction. So what does this all mean for an allegedly wild 2016 race? Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich goes on the record. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you. So I suppose it's not really big news that Dr. Ben Carson is dropping out. I mean, that writing was on the wall, right?
I think so. It's a question of how long he wanted to stay in. He clearly was still raising money, and he was still getting 7, 8, 9%. But I think he saw realistically that there was no future, and he wasn't getting attention at the debates the way he thought he deserved. So probably from his standpoint, there wasn't a productive future.
All right. What do you make of Governor Mitt Romney? He's been tweeting. He's been very busy tweeting. He tweeted things like another bombshell. Trump should authorize the New York Times to release the transcript of his editorial board interview, which, of course, is off the record. All the candidates do that. And he also says he's accusing him of being of coddling bigotry. Why is he suddenly coming out from the shadows and taking those swipes at Trump?
Well, look, I think in all fairness, Mitt is a key member of the establishment. He is part of exactly what people in the country have been mad about. And, the establishment's going crazy. I mean, the idea that they were sure for months, they would say over and over again, you know, Trump is going to implode. Trump will disappear. When it gets to be serious, he won't have any votes. And now they suddenly look at, say, Super Tuesday, where Trump did pretty well. He didn't do well enough to be overwhelmingly, decisively the nominee, but he sure did well enough to be the front runner. And now they're suddenly saying, oh, my gosh, what if we actually end up with Trump? And so you've seen it in there are consultants who are going to make millions of dollars in the next few weeks convincing billionaires to put up an immense amount of money. Now, some of it's funny. I mean, the very guys who spent $100 million for Jeb Bush and failed are now out convincing billionaires to spend even more money. And I think this is a sign of panic. I think Romney getting this engaged is part of the same process. They're all talking to each other. They're all desperate to stop Trump. And this is part of the same process.
All right. We're going to ask the viewers to participate because now's their chance to vote at home on Twitter. Should Governor Mitt Romney inject himself into the 2016 GOP battle tweet?
The answer is no, of course. What are we talking about here? Why is the Democratic process is fine until Donald Trump gets involved? I mean, all they're going to do is hand the White House over to Hillary Clinton, and then they're going to sit around smiling and looking at each other for 4 or 8 years, patting each other on the back as the country finally falls apart and as the party comes to pieces. You know, there's going to be tens of millions of furious people out there that are going to write off the GOP if they do that. And the problem that America is in right now with the conservative movement and the GOP has been caused by the GOP. It's their fault. They're a terrible party. They don't know how to raise up leaders. The good people that they raise up, they don't, you know, support them. They have somebody who comes along who gets tired of losing. And that person, then when he's in a position to take the whole thing and take the White House, the GOP thinks that their duty to America is to destroy that person who they don't even know how that individual will govern without even trying to work with him and put in Hillary Rodham Clinton for the third term of Barack Obama. I've never heard anything crazier in my life. I really haven't. 642, 643, Kelly O'Connell. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 and 805-6180. Call in if you disagree. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob, what's up?
I appreciate your shtick this morning. I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. In my heart of hearts, I think that we end up going with Trump, we're going to be taking one autocrat, narcissistic autocrat over the one we have. The only difference is one's going to have black hair and the new one will have orange hair. having said that, I agree with you. If people are voting for the guy and he's a Republican, we ought to close ranks. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people who I respect are telling me they're not going to vote. They're going to stay home if he's nominated. I don't get that sort of logic.
Bob,
I just don't get it.
Bob, can I put you on a hold and I'll bring you on in one in 30
seconds?
No.
I'm not calling the. I got to go to a meeting. I'm heading to a meeting right now. I just called to tell you what a good job you're doing.
Thanks, Bob. Hey, have a great day. All right. You know, I just got a call from Bob, and Bob said, you know, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, one, you trade one autocrat for another, but the one you're trading for happens to be a Republican. But look, folks, we don't know if Donald Trump is going to be an autocrat. I mean, this idea that there is this pure party out there called the GOP who always does the right thing, and all of a sudden, through no fault of its own, a big bully shows up and takes the party over and is on the verge of turning the country into a prison, into a Nazi concentration camp, is an insane interpretation of events. The problem with the GOP is the GOP. All right. To take that down as a fact, number one, number two, the problem with the GOP is liberalism. You've got a liberal party. You don't need two liberal parties. We have to have ideas that are fighting against one another. Any liberal, any Democrat will tell you it. The health of the nation depends on that. You've got the GOP acting as a junior liberal party, and when anybody disagrees with them, they just, you know, send them off to Siberia. And you have these people that are fighting for amnesty while the entire GOP base is screaming out for something to be done about amnesty. And what's the big deal about immigration? Because I got a lecture yesterday from another attorney on how we can't, and I've got actually attorneys talking to me about coming on the show and saying, the average attorney wants to keep it low key. The average attorney is so busy and distracted by their clients, and they don't want to do anything to upset their clients, and they don't want to be in the news. They want to make news by winning cases. They don't want to be in the news. But I've got guys coming up to me saying, I want to come on your show and I want to go after Trump. And I'm saying, bring it on. You know, the more voices, the merrier. But I got to tell you, it is a suicide mission. And what do you expect, though, from a group of people that cannot lead their own party when a person under their own initiative stands up and tries to do what they think is right to save everything? The party then goes after him. That's a party that's sick. You know, that's like, I don't know. It's like lepers taking over the leper colony. And anybody who's not infected is not allowed on the island. All right. Here is a little bit from Donald Trump on Good Morning America, talking about Mitt Romney and such.
About a right now, Mr. Trump. Thank you for joining us again this morning. I want to put up that excerpt from Mitt Romney's speech up on the screen right now. He says, here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House. All
this guy is absolutely shameless. Mitt Romney getting up and saying that the party's leader is a fraud. God, this is so crazy. Do you wonder why the GOP hasn't been in free fall since George W. Bush? Got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. Real quickly here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's say that Trump doesn't get this thing, and Hillary Rodham Clinton, our socialist, gets it. The first thing that elite Republicans are going to say is, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, we would have won this.
Well, doesn't that make everything better? Doesn't that heal all wounds? You know, you got a scapegoat. Congratulations, Mr. GOP, Mrs. GOP. Is that what all this party has to offer is excuses?
They are a bunch of complete nincompoop, stupid people. And I was talking this morning to my wife, and I said, you know, I'm 74 years old, Kelly. I've voted in every election. But this year, if Republicans throw him under the bus and throwing their establishment, this might be the first time I won't vote.
Yeah,
I'm just so bitter against these people.
Yeah, and who's going to take his place? I mean, here's the thing. You have a process. You put the process in. You tweaked it to make it easier for there to be an early front runner. Now Trump is arising out of the pack despite all of the massive number of attacks against him. He's still coming up. And you're going to go kill him? All right, that to me is so crazy. And they want Hillary's third term for what? So they can finish, you know, with removing the organs from the corpse of America?
Well, you know, I had been wavering just a little bit. We've been talking here in our household about voting for it, but with this move, what they're doing with Mitt Romney, now, Ron Priebus could have stopped this. He could have said, hey, you're going to screw things up. Do not let Romney go for CPAC when they invited him. But somebody up there is pulling strings. And I'll tell you one thing, Kelly. This is not boding well for America. People want a guy, and you said something the other day. It's just perfectly said. Why not take a chance on this guy, even if you're not sure? You know what you're going to get with Hillary. Take a chance with a guy that says that he believes in what you believe in. At least give him a shot, and it goes downhill. Then we can blame ourselves for putting him in, but he may go in and do great things. But the Republican Party are so stupid that they have confirmed me now I'm voting for Trump. That's it, period.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to choose a candidate, but I'll tell you this. Everything that I've seen out of Trump shows me he's a fighter and that he's not afraid to go against the stream. And if he turned into a junior Reagan or a mini conservative, he may not have all the moves and all the stuff that Reagan had, but he might be able to have a nice little conservative run, but he'll never get the chance if he's throttled in the crib by the GOP. I don't even think they can pull it off. They're so incompetent. But the idea that they're going to trash their own brand for this supposedly pure party and then Hillary's going to come and take over, that is so sickening to me. I just feel it's like bringing in a bunch of terrorists into America and just putting them in every city, you know?
Yeah, well, look what they did to Sarah Palin. They let her hang out to dry.
Oh, and she had to be sacrificed.
They hated Ronald Reagan.
Palin had to be sacrificed, right? So the party is so much better now that the, Sarah Palin was openly attacked for years by the opposition until she became a laughingstock. And now she's just a total joke. But the party is so much better. Yeah, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. GOP. You're so smart.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to say this. Maybe it's a little arrogant, but mark my words. If she gets in, the first thing that those upper people, the establishment, the elite in the Republican Party are going to say is, if Donald Trump costs us the election, it's going to happen.
Of course. Thanks for the call, Jim. I got to go.
Sure.
All right, folks. We'll take a little break here and be right back. Mitt Romney, go away. You've done enough damage already. How dare you stand up there and attack Donald Trump as being a liar and a fraud when you are the person who ran for president and pretended to be a conservative until you got into the race and couldn't defend the conservative ideals? Shame on you, Mitt Romney. Go back to whatever hellhole you came from.
Hi.
So the Koch brothers are not going to, the Koch brothers are not going to oppose Trump. That should tell you something right there. Let's see here. I'm reading text here, and there's text as long as the Encyclopedia Britannica. Every voter should remember the disgraceful juvenile behavior upon leaving the White House. All right, hold on. This is so good. I'm a Christian patriot with a 145 IQ. I'm taking it that this means that it's neither Ken Miyagashima nor Wayne Hancock. But anyway, I'm a Christian patriot with a 145 IQ. We that support Trump are not stupid, as the anti-Constitution and anti-Christ Democrat Socialist Party likes to say. I am not a racist. The left are the true hypocritical racists. Trump didn't endorse David Duke. Duke endorsed him. Every voter should remember the disgraceful juvenile behavior upon leaving the White House. The Clintons, they and their staff trashed it, and the computer hard drives. They took everything that wasn't nailed down and left graffiti on the White House walls. Bill had perverted sex with a young intern in the sanctity of the Oval Office, total disregard for the office and disrespect, also total disrespect for the nation and all who sacrificed to establish it. And those who love her and serve and honor her still, the Clintons are low lives. Their names should be erased from the American history books. They belong in prison, not in the White House. Wake up, America. I kick out of your interaction. What's up? I didn't hear. Hope he's okay. Did his dogs eat him? Yes, folks. I believe his dogs did eat him, but I have to find evidence of that before just going off my gut instincts here. But Mike, call into the show, dang it. This is no time to go into hibernation. We need your voice, your crazy voice, your seemingly racist Aryan Nation voice. 6:59. Well, it was, at least it was entertaining. 6:59, and we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, I am. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, 805-6180. We'll be back to pick it up again. And I've got more news on Hillary Clinton's possible indictment.
No more turning away.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Lydia, I just wanted to get your text number. I forgot it.
805-6180.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
All right, so we're talking about Hillary getting indicted possibly. So the only party who's in worse shape than the GOP is the Democratic Party, right? All right, here is Donald Trump responding to this crazy thing. Let me ask you something. If Mitt Romney is so wise, if he's such a great leader, if he's called in at the last moment to save America, why did he invent Obamacare? If he's such a genius, and if you know anything about Massachusetts, his health idea, his health plan idea there never worked. If he's so smart, why did he do that? And then he couldn't fight against Obamacare when he got into office. Why was he so selfish to run for office knowing he couldn't fight against Obamacare, the main beef that Americans had with Barack Obama? You're a selfish, self-righteous buffoon, Mitt Romney. Here we go.
We get is a lousy hat. Your response?
Well, look, Mitt Romney was a failed candidate, should have beaten Barack Obama easily. I've brought millions and millions of people, and you know this, George, because I saw your report on it, into the Republican Party over the last very short period of time. It's the biggest story in politics, how many people are flocking into the Republican Party. They're leaving the Democrats. They're leaving the independents. They're no longer independent. They're now going as Republicans, and they're with me 100%. I have rallies. The other day in Alabama, we had 35,000 people. 35,000, the biggest one of the season by anybody by far.
And it's Kelly, who's
We're
this?
Having the biggest rallies. We get 20,000 and 15,000 routinely. And there's great enthusiasm.
Eddie,
in the
I'll put
Republican
you on hold and come back,
except
okay?
By the establishment.
How about the substance of those attacks? He brings up Trump University. You're facing ads now in several states, several million dollars in ads where victims say they were scammed out of thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars. That's hitting you hard right in the middle of the campaign.
George, it's a simple civil case. I could have settled it, probably still could, very, very easily. But I don't want to settle it because, look, the people that took the course, 98% of those people liked the school. We have report cards. Every single person that is in a civil case.
That was before they took the courses.
Excuse me. Every single person that's taken it, practically, almost all, 98%, loved it. We have an A from the Better Business Bureau. We got rated A.
All right, so George Stephanopoulos, big donor to the Clinton stuff, and what is he? Should he really be reporting on this stuff? But here we go. We got Eddie on the line. Eddie, thanks for the call, and what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to call up and say that I was no great fan of Mitt Romney. I was kind of a reluctant supporter. But anyway, his deal in Massachusetts is nothing more than just exactly what you and I and 75% of the people advocated, and that is to have state plans and then pick among the state plans and see which ones work and let the states emulate each other and experiment and kind of do things like that.
All right, there's a couple of problems that I have with what you're saying. Number one, there is I happen to have worked not in the insurance industry, but I through kind of a roundabout thing that I won't explain to people. But when I was in academia, I just started studying the insurance industry. One of the problems is that you can't, it's not national, it's state to state. But here's my question. Why are you the only person that I have ever heard not say that what Mitt Romney did, including the left, including the Democrats, including some people on the right, why are you the only person who doesn't say that it was a precursor to Obamacare?
Well, it may have been adopted by Obama as a national program, but Mitt Romney actually developed it as a state program.
No, that I understand that. I understand.
Doesn't mean it's good for the duck.
I understand, but I mean, you're telling us, you know, you're calling up to tell us that, you know, air has part of air is oxygen. Obviously, if he's the governor of the state, he can only do a state program. He can't make a national program. Therefore, he did not literally create Obamacare. But everybody that I've ever heard and what I've studied about it has said it's the precursor. Believe it or not, it is failing and it has failed in Massachusetts. It's almost bankrupted the state, and Obamacare is not really working out either. So my thing is, like, if you know that you're in that position, why do you run for office when the one thing that people want repealed is Obamacare? That's a common sense question.
Is he running? I don't know. I just tuned in at the news, the top of the hour, and so I really don't know what you've discussed or what the.
All right, so here's the scenario. Eddie, hold on a second. Here's the scenario. the Donald Trump, against all odds and against all of the professional commentators, all the people who are supposed to be able to predict stuff like this easily, Donald Trump is on the verge of winning the nomination. Now they say, the GOP elites say that he has got to be stopped. He's got, no matter what they do. So they've called in Mitt Romney, who was the last failed candidate, to come in and denounce him and call him a fraud and say that, that he's bad for America. Mitt Romney, in theory, I guess, would accept the nomination at the convention. That's where we're at right now. And Mitt Romney is going to give a speech denouncing Donald Trump, the party's leading vote getter up to this point. What's your response?
Well, he loved Donald Trump 4 years ago.
Yes.
And couldn't say enough nice things about him. It's unfortunate, but you know, Kelly, that's politics.
It is.
And that's what we work with.
Well, let me ask you this, Eddie, you sound like a common sense person and maybe like a little better educated than the average person. If Donald Trump wins through the Democratic process, then the number of delegates to lead the party in the general election, do you think he should be supported by the GOP?
Yes.